The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the ShopTates.com studios.
Good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us, Brad Sesmatt, on Sports360AZ.com. We're Arizona-centric, Sports360AZ.com. On AZ Central Sports, good to partner with the Arizona Republic, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter, at Brad Sesmatt, C-E-S-M-A-T. On the program today, Eric Metz is going to be joining us in studio. The business of sports, the NFL, the draft. Eric Metz, 30 years being an agent in the National Football League. A lot of you guys that are checking out the show are sitting at your desk, sitting at your computer, wherever it is you're taking in the show. And you're saying, Brad, I would rather be in your spot hosting a sports show. I'd rather be in Eric Metz's spot being an NFL agent. I could be the next Jerry Maguire. How did he get into it? How does he manage his clients? He may have the number one overall pick in this year's NFL draft. Greg Robinson, the offensive tackle out of Auburn, is Eric's client. So we're following that pursuit. Greg is in Houston today. Is it today, Eric? I think it's today.
He's getting put through the ringer right now with the Texans.
He's in the Texans. He's with the Texans. So Eric has the number one overall pick in the draft.
Possibly.
In my mind.
Possibly.
In my mind.
Some mocks have a number two, which wouldn't be a bad deal.
Well, it's not bad either. Doesn't blow. But the business of sports, I want to talk with Eric about some things around the National Football League. The green room. What is the green room like for a guy for 30 years? And he's working on the phones right now. Who are the teams that are trustworthy? Are there any teams? Are they all being deceptive at this point? What does Eric think? Because he has a guy that could be the number one overall pick. The top five picks in the draft look like right now. So I'm going to get into it with him at about 10:30. As we do our thing at the bottom of the hour, Eric Metz will be joining us on the show as always. Eric Sorensen, our Senior Executive Vice President of Everything. Do you have a Facebook question today? We have crickets today. Got it. It's not that we're against doing it. It's just...
Why do you ask me if we have a Facebook question?
How many Diamondback... Because I always want to hang you out to dry on the show.
I appreciate that. Even though I specifically told you last week, you know, we're not going to do a daily Facebook question. We'll have updates
because
on the Facebook
Because it's the
page.
Same stuff every day because
yeah.
It's the Diamondbacks.
There's not a lot of compelling things right now around the Diamondbacks.
No.
Except for when is the axe going to fall if the axe falls.
When we feel like, and I just throw it out there because, look, this is as real a show as it gets. We don't script this. We don't sit here and have these meetings, these mindless meetings of, hey, I'm going to say this, and you say that. We don't do that. So I just don't see anything about the Diamondbacks. I was on Twitter last night, and I had some media people in town. One of the local TV guys, a local TV producer, the sports producer, and they were texting me last night about 10 o'clock. It reads like you've had enough. No, I had enough about a week ago, but as I see them play – every game, the Diamondbacks just continue to be an absolute train wreck. I'm just wondering why Ken Kendrick is being inactive. That's where I'm at now.
Well, we're not sure that he's being inactive. We don't know exactly what's going on behind the...
No, he's being inactive. I know this.
The closed doors.
I know this.
Okay.
If he was being active, there'd be somebody that'd be done by now.
But who knows? By the end of the week, we may have a new manager.
I don't want to wait by the end of the week. I don't want to wait.
What's the rush? They're 5-18.
That's the rush. They're
5-18. I guess.
What are you talking about?
But the season was lost weeks ago. I mean, the sad reality of it is we're less than a month into the baseball season, and you can already just go ahead and write off 2014.
They're not even into the final week on the calendar. Today is the 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
So we're finally now at the final week, and they're well on their way to surpassing 20 losses before the final week is of April.
Never would have guessed it.
Yeah, I know. Well, let's get you caught up some things in my mind in the world of sports then. Brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. The Honda Resort and Casino has been a part of Sports 360 AZ since day number one, 2.5 years ago. They said, you know what? Whatever you do, Brad, we're right there with you since day number one, the Honda Resort and Casino, and I'm with them. That's a great place to stay up in the White Mountains, up in the high country. Have you ever been up to Sholo and Pine Top and Greer and up there? It's beautiful country. Beautiful country. If you're in the valley and you're wanting to get away, that's the place to go and stay, hang out, eat some great food, have some fun, pull down on the slots, and then get out and enjoy the high country. It's the Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. So I watched the Pat Tillman special last night, and it was very emotional. And I'll get to the schedule being released here in a minute because I do have some thoughts on the Cardinals. And there's some good news today about the Suns and Goran Dragic. But I don't want to let the Tillman documentary – I shouldn't say documentary – the Tillman special last night on ESPN, because I'm sure a lot of you checked it out. Eric, did you see it?
I did. I watched it in its entirety.
Yeah, so. And what'd you think?
I liked it for the most part. I thought, as we discussed this morning, I thought that Arizona State represented themselves very well. There were parts of the show that I thought were a little awkward and forced, but I thought Jeremy Stott was great. I thought Jake Plummer's intro was great.
Todd Graham was product placement, man.
No question.
If you're an ASU fan, if you're an ASU recruit, so I was talking to someone at ASU last night who's high up the food chain there, and this guy said to me, you wouldn't believe how many times we get asked about Pat Tillman when it comes to recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you saw that shot last night. We don't have it up on the stream, but there was a shot where Todd Graham is sitting there doing this talk back, they call in the business. So he's sitting there talking into the camera. And behind him, he's in the Tillman Tunnel.
Yep, which was great.
It's great. So he's in the Tillman Tunnel. So you see Pat Tillman right behind him. They rolled in a little bit of video of the players when they come out of the tunnel. And it's got the highlights as they're walking out of Pat Tillman. Is like a reminder. And so from a recruiting standpoint, a lot of you guys have figured what we do out, that we're very much into the college football scene and the recruiting scene and the high school scene. That's a huge deal in our state and actually here in the Southwest and across the Pac-12 region, we're very big in the recruiting. For Todd Graham to have that last night, they should just pull that clip and go send it to every last recruit saying, hey, here's something we did last night that was kind of cool. Because moms and dads, you can do blocking and tackling all you want. You can go show the guys that were in the NFL or are in the NFL now all you want. But Pat Tillman to a mom and a dad, and here's Todd Graham talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
That's nobody. U of A cannot do that. UCLA cannot do that. I mean, UCLA can use Jackie Robinson in recruiting, and that's fine. But Stanford can't do that. Washington can't. So anybody in the West Coast or anybody across the country, I want to be a Sun Devil and I want to run out of the same tunnel as Pat Tillman ran out of. And Pat Tillman, when they focused on the Tillman Scholars, I get choked up about that. I got choked up about it yesterday because I've been asked to speak to that group a few times. I get in there and I'm immediately the dumbest guy in the room, which isn't that hard for me. But in this room, it's interviewing the 19-year-old kid who's going to build a wastewater treatment plant in China, somewhere in China, and it's all through the Tillman Scholar Fund at ASU.
I thought the Tillman Foundation, Brad, was actually a little bit underserved on the special. I thought they could have done a little more around that.
You could be right.
But for the most part, I loved the story on Marie Tillman and her moving on. She's remarried. She has a baby. They live in Chicago.
Right.
So I thought that was cool.
And the Tillman Run is this weekend. Mm-hmm. And the Tillman Run, you know that is something. I was in it last year. For me, it was the Tillman Walk because I'm double knee replacement sitting here waiting to happen.
It's okay. They say walk or run.
Yeah. It's fine. So that was last night. Today, the NFL schedule is going to be released. And I'll get into that in the next segment a little bit further, but I am excited about that. Goran Dragic today named the most improved player in the NBA. The most improved player in the NBA. And I'm surprised by that because Goran Dragic to me is more than just a guy that got better this year. Goran Dragic, you can make an argument. Goran Dragic should have had a little bit of MVP attention. Because he played so well. I'm not saying he's the MVP of the league, but look, if you're talking about a top 15 guy this year, Goran Dragic I would put in the top 15. Was he improved or did he just get a chance to shine out here in Arizona? But it's good for him. Good for him. Good for Goran Dragic. Gerald Green finished fourth. Markieff Morris finished in the top 10 as well. So he had three sons that finished in the top 10 when it comes to the most improved player in the NBA. It's very, very good for them. Back over on the Diamondbacks. So here we are last night, Brandon McCarthy on the mound. In fairness to Brandon McCarthy, Prado boots a ball. Prado's becoming somewhat the whipping child of the fans because they don't think he wants to be here. Regardless, here's McCarthy at the on the mound to Mike Ault.
Deep right center field for Mike Ault. It's gone. It's a three-run homer. A line shot into the bleachers. 5-0 Cubs.
So they go on to the win 9-2. They are 5-18. Wade Miley's on the mound today. It's fine. It's fine. Whoever's on the mound today, there just is a vibe around this team. Listen to some of these comments from Eric Chavez. Eric Chavez is a player that I've always liked all the way back into high school in Southern California. Really good player. And had a great run with the A's. And I think he's one of these glue guys you need on a bench. And someday I'm sure he'll be working on a bench or in a front office. He's a really, really sharp guy. So here's Chavez last night, one of the leaders on this Diamondbacks team after they get drilled again.
You know, everybody's got always got something really good to say. But really, the only thing that matters right now is performance on the field. And we're not getting it. So I think the words are there. You know, the spirit's been there. It's definitely getting tougher each day we do this, but I sense a little bit more frustration in here tonight than I have all year.
Yeah, so if you're Ken Kendrick and you're sitting at home and you're watching the game, it's not Ken Kendrick's style to get on a plane. If I were Ken Kendrick, if it were me, I would get on a plane. I would get on the plane and I would show up and I would show a sign of support if that's really where I'm at here on all this. Because you can put the fear of these young guys, fear God in these young guys by walking in there and just saying this is unacceptable and throwing stuff around. You also, because Ken Kendrick has been inactive on this, in my opinion, it means he wants desperately to not have to pull the plug. I'm not ripping Ken Kendrick for inactivity. Everybody wants to see a change on this. I just feel like it's building to that point. But if you're being supportive, maybe you should get on a plane and walk into that clubhouse and close the door and air it out yourself. Here's more of Eric Chavez.
We're battling ourselves. There's not even an opponent in the other dugout, to be honest with you. We're telling him. I mean, even with teams that I've lost on, we've been competitive. So we haven't even been competitive this year. Can't talk anymore. There's enough meetings and, you know, we've tried it all. And, you know, between the lines is the only thing that counts at this point.
Haven't even been competitive. Nothing else to say. And he's right. I'm not going to rip on him. I appreciate where he's coming from. But listen closely here. So Ken Kendrick has come on this show a number of times. I always appreciate his candor. Sometimes we sword fight. Sometimes we pat each other on the back. That's fine. Here's Ken on February 26th when camp opened. And I talked to him about, look, you've given the extensions to Towers and Gibson. Here's Ken Kendrick, even on that day in late February.
I'm at that point, like, I can put my fan hat on now. We work hard in the offseason to put a team together to get the leadership in place, and we've done that. You know, we think we have a solid group to support Gibby. You know, we're comfortable with across the board the leadership team that we have. We think we've put a club together that can really compete, and now I get to be like everybody else, a fan, and watch and see what they do. And I guess, you know, my role is a little different at the end. Based on how it turns out, and then I have a responsibility to evaluate the outcome and act accordingly.
I have a responsibility to look at what's happening and act accordingly. We think we've put together the group that supports Gibby. There was no mention of Kevin Towers' name in there. Okay. And at the time, I remember telling Eric after the show, I said, I didn't get a sense that that was a real big vote of support coming from Ken on this whole situation. I know that people want Towers blown out today, but that just doesn't happen. General managers don't get blown out and problems get solved. If he's made all these mistakes, you've got to sit there and put up with it. And they're becoming an embarrassment. Here's Pedro Gomez with me on our weekly segment, ESPN's Pedro Gomez, on the embarrassment of the Diamondbacks.
It's a difficult, difficult spot that they're in. Like I said, Ken Kendrick's track record, and that's what we have to go by, is that he is not an overly patient person. So nothing would surprise me at this point. And it is becoming increasingly embarrassing on a national level because they're closing in on 20 losses already. And we still have a week left in April.
Okay. So there's the national view on it. It seems to me that Ken is just trying desperately to not make a rash decision, a rash judgment, but it's getting to, it's beyond that point of something has to happen here. It just has to. On the other side, so the NFL schedule comes out tonight, and I'm very excited for that. We're going to go through the Cardinals' possibilities of who it may be, who you want it to be, my thoughts on that. Also, trading the number one overall pick, Houston is now reportedly open to it. We'll get into that a little bit further, too, with Eric Metz as he joins us. NFL agent, 30 years. He's based in Scottsdale, represents Greg Robinson, who could well be the number one overall pick in 2 weeks. Really looking forward to the business of sports with Eric Metz later on in the show. I'm Brad Sussmat. Sports360AZ.com on AZ Central Sports. Good to be partnered up with the Arizona Republic, White Mountain Radio, and of course on Twitter at Brad Sussmat, C-E-S-M-A-T. Eric Metz here in about 10 minutes. We'll be talking about the NFL draft in great detail as he will be representing perhaps the number one overall pick. He is representing him already, who is in Houston today. And some other things around the draft, kind of the backside, the business side of sports. And I really look forward to talking with Eric. I'm thinking about making it a weekly deal because it's had a lot of good feedback on it. So the NFL schedule gets released tonight at 5 o'clock our time. Remember the schedule maker last year? I felt like, boy, they have a real problem with the Arizona Cardinals because in a span of 4 days, they had them play at San Francisco and then home to Seattle. That's not quite fair. And then, of course, at the end of the year, you had the 49ers and the Seahawks to finish out the season. So that's not the easiest way to go. I tend to look, and I'm sure all of you guys tonight, when you're looking at the schedule, you're going to want to see where the Seattle and the San Francisco games are. I'm going to look to see where are the cold weather games first. And they have games away at New York against the Giants, at Denver, and at Seattle. Dallas could be a cold weather game. Wouldn't it be cool if the Cardinals played Dallas on Thanksgiving? But they usually have that as an interdivisional game. Steelers, Cowboys, Dolphins, Cowboys.
Sure.
You know, I've heard Buffalo is going to play Detroit this year on Thanksgiving. That's one of the games that's out there.
Buffalo and Detroit?
On the, it's, you know, it's that, that's the, like the 10 a.m. game.
Yeah.
I think it's Ralph Wilson passing away. I think it's one of those things. And Detroit always plays a morning game because of the car dealers.
Yep.
You know, the Fords and the big sponsors of the NFL. That's the way it works. So I've heard that game is out there. But if you're going to have a road game in December, and I know you're going to say, well, look, the Cardinals won last year at Seattle and it was cold and it wasn't great. I get that. But if things are on the line and I've got to go to play the Giants on like the 23rd of December, that's not good.
You kind of want to get your big cross-country travel games out of the way early. Number one, like you said, for weather. And number two, just by the end of the year, having to fly from Phoenix to, you know, three time zones away and then back, and then sometimes they have to go back on the road again.
Sure, it's,
I don't know. Is that more of a mental thing? I don't think so, because I think by the end of the year, the players are just sick of the grind and get those big cross-country trips out of the way early.
Well, so they've got games at Atlanta, so you're in a dome there. The game at Dallas, Jerry's World.
Yeah.
St. Louis is in a dome. San Francisco's outdoors.
Not
Seattle's
terrible.
In their deal. No, it's not. So the road schedule, from my standpoint, it's not that big of a deal. It's not that much of a grind. Cowboy fans, you guys already know this. Your team is going to be 500 again because that's what you are. You're nothing more than a 500 team. You can get all mad at me, but the numbers don't lie. Raiders fans, you have Matt Schaub at quarterback and you just traded Terrell Pryor. So, again, you can say, well, we're going to hand the ball off to MGD and McFadden together. You can say that, and it really sounds good rolling off your tongue, but you know you're going to blow again because you have commitment to incompetence, not commitment to excellence. You're the Raiders. Atlanta, I think Atlanta's one of those teams that can go either way. Yeah, they had a lot of injuries last season at wide receiver with Roddy White and Julio Jones. I get that. But Atlanta's one of those squads that I think could be just a 6-10 train wreck or be a 10-6 team. Depends when you play them. Giants last season, they've had a good offseason. I think the Giants have had a good offseason. But you don't know on that one. The teams within the division, I'd rather open at Seattle. I have no problem with that. I've heard this, oh, boy, really? Cardinal fans, I really hope we don't open with the Seahawks. Why?
You got to play them at some
point. Why not?
So, yeah.
Just get it out. I'd rather play them at the start of the year when I'm healthy. I'd rather get that game out of the way when I'm healthy, or the 49ers, than go through what they went through last year. The games at home, okay, so if they open at home with, let's say, Kansas City, because they have Kansas City, they have the Chargers, they have Detroit, they have the Redskins.
Home schedule's okay.
Home schedule's
it's okay.
It's fine. It's fine. I think I'd rather open with Washington at home because I think that's a win. We're all going to sit here tomorrow and tonight and say, well, that's a win.
That's the best part of the schedule coming out.
It's the best part of the schedule, right.
And playing the over-under, Brad, on over-under Arizona Cardinals national television games. I'm going to set it at three.
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 Okay. Are you including the game against Cincinnati already in a training camp preseason?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Worthless.
No.
But that's
primetime games would be Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football, Thursday Night Football.
All right.
I'm so setting it at three.
Okay. So if it's a Thursday night game, let's just say, because I think Thursday is going to be the new Sunday. Thursday is the most watched night of the week, and CBS, they're going to load up these games. You really think they're going to put a Cardinal game on a Thursday night?
I do.
Okay, so if they did...
Because they have in the past.
But that was on NFL Network, which nobody has.
Yeah,
this
true.
Is on CBS.
But still, people find the NFL.
This is CBS.
It's not like the Pac-12 Network. People get the NFL Network.
Are there enough sexy players on the Cardinals? And I'm not talking about look, guys, all right? Are there enough players on the Cardinals that have high Q ratings? Are people going to say, I'm going to drive home? If they're in Knoxville, Tennessee, I'm going to race home to watch Patrick Peterson and Larry Fitzgerald and the Cardinals. Now, you and I will say, that's really good. I'd like to see them. But I got to believe the Thursday night schedule is going to have a lot of New England against Denver and Denver against Pittsburgh and New England against... I think that they're just going to load that schedule up and that the schedule makers are going to say Arizona.
But there is some intrigue now nationally with the Cardinals.
Well, I agree with you on that.
They got this new coach. They won 10 games last year. They won at Seattle. Are they the sexiest? No. But, you know, they have at least 16 Thursday night games to schedule. So maybe the Cardinals get thrown a bone there. Who knows?
Well, I think on Monday night, I could see on the Monday night schedule.
An NFC West team?
Yeah, see, I don't think the Monday night thing is as big a deal as it once was.
It's not.
At all.
It's not.
At all.
Sunday night's huge, and if you think Thursday's huge, then
Thursday's the most watched night of television every... That's why this deal with CBS was so big.
Mm-hmm.
And so could I see... I can't see Washington, Arizona on a Thursday night. Can't see that. I can't see San Diego, Arizona on a Thursday night. I can see on a Monday night, Arizona, Philadelphia... I can see an East Coast matchup like that. I mean, they could sell Washington and RG3, but is it RG3 against Larry Fitzgerald? Is it RG3 against Tyrann Mathieu? You know how that is. They play up it's Brady and Manning.
Right.
Monday night
RG3
football.
RG3 Patrick Peterson, maybe? I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's not.
Maybe,
it's not super sexy.
But I'm one of those, I'd rather be home late in the year. I'd rather have my final three or four games of the year. If I've got to travel three of the last 4 weeks, that's not good. And you know there's going to be that stretch. There's always a stretch where you look at. Last year it was they got to play Seattle and San Francisco in 4 days. Who'd they piss off? You know that there's going to be that side of it. Or maybe the schedule's a little bit more favorable for them. It's tonight. The other story in the NFL that I really like is the trading the number one overall pick out of Houston. So Gil Brandt, and we've had Gil on the show before, and some people think Gil has been nipping on the cooking sherry. I happen to like Gil. But Gil's been around longer than the dirt that this building's built on. And he reported that the Texans could take Jadeveon Clowney with the first overall pick, trade him to a team that takes a predetermined player with its own first-round pick. I do believe that that's a very smart approach. If I'm the Texans, and there's got to be more involved in this, but if I'm the Texans... And the Texans take Clowney or they take Manziel with the first pick. And that would send everybody a buzz. But you're sitting there and you're Minnesota. And you Viking fans know you screwed up with Christian Ponder. You're nodding your head. So maybe they're taking that player for someone else. On the other side, I'll talk with Eric Metz about it. But first, before we go to break, But first, let me tell you about Western Grade and Western Materials. Western Grade, Western Materials. They've done work in Anthem. They've done work in Queen Creek, as well as up in the White Mountains. They've done work right here in the Valley. I talked with Troy Gillespie, the owner, about his business. It's very important when builders are considering the company that'll do that heavy earth work, right? Those master plan communities, you've got to have the right company to do the heavy earth work. They do it here in the Valley. They do it in the White Mountains. You just don't want anybody showing up for that custom home you're going to build in Scottsdale or in Pine Top Lakeside. Western Grade, Western Materials. You can check them out online at westerncos.com. That's westerncos.com. Western Grade, Western Materials. I'll answer your questions on the website. Check them out. That's Western Grade, Western Materials. A new part of Sports360AZ.com. On the other side, Eric Metz, 30 years NFL agent, the business side of sports. He represents Greg Robinson, who could be the number one pick in the upcoming draft. He's based right here in Scottsdale. We'll talk with Eric next. The business side of sports, NFL contracts, how the top five is going to look in the draft, how his client is doing with the Texans, and all these rumors. That's next.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
All right, all things NFL now, the business side of sports. Eric Metz joins us in studio, Valley-based agent, 30 years plus in the National Football League. We are just over 2 weeks away from the NFL draft. This is the line season. This is the season where teams are trying to trash players so that they drop to them. Yes? Or they just have guys that they want to rip on. Your client is down in Houston. We're going to get to that in a minute and where he is. But let's go into the line season first.
Well, I think I learned 1 year when we had a player who was ultimately the second pick in the draft, Kevin Hardy. And miraculously, 2 days before the draft, he has some neck injury that's going to prevent him from playing in the NFL. Of course, none of which was true. But the team who picked him at number two, they put out some rumors. Other agents put out rumors. Teams put out rumors to try to knock down players perhaps where they could get them. Ironically, the one player in that draft who was considered not worthy because he was too short was Ray Lewis, who slipped all the way down to number 26th and obviously became a Hall of Famer.
So when you hear something like this around your client, what can you do?
What you have to do in my job, and I was doing it as recent as this morning, is you're talking to team trainers, you're talking to team doctors, you're talking to general managers and coaches and people that you have friends that are friends in the league, and you're just double checking, making sure, hey, there's nothing medically about my guy. There are no red flags where I should be putting out fires right now.
So this is about Greg Robinson.
This year it would be about Greg Robinson, yes.
Okay. But you have other clients, too, that teams are calling you about that may not be in the draft, right?
They don't, but they don't knock them as much as the top picks are knocked like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And there are issues that are true. There are players that have been injured before. I think it was 1990 when Percy Snow,
linebacker, Michigan State.
Tore his knee because he got drunk at a party in Michigan State. And Bill Johnson – oh, actually, Percy was injured, and he was drunk at the same party as Bill Johnson, and he pushed Bill Johnson down the steps, and he tore his knee and went from a top 10 pick to a third rounder. And everybody was trying to find out if it was true, and it was true. And Bill had a nice career, but he ended up being a third-round pick instead of a top 10. A
couple drinks cost him how much money?
Cost him a lot. Yeah. We had two guys in 1999 that were in the first round, and the other player, you remember Ty Streets from
sure.
Ty Streets, the week of the draft, tore his Achilles playing basketball. So you're on the phone begging your clients not to play basketball or do anything that could possibly injure them.
So there's guys watching this right now, Eric, that are saying, I hate doing what I'm doing. I could do what Eric is doing. You've got two phones with you as you walk in here. You've got a client who was in Atlanta yesterday that could be the number one overall pick, who's in Houston today. And that's just one guy. You're talking 2 a.m., 4 a.m. Your phone never stops, right?
It stops. We've been fortunate to, and we do a good job of pre-qualifying, so to speak, certain players. We find out if we're going to fit with the guy and so on.
What do you look
so
for
forth.
In that? When
you... you're looking for a class guy that's a straight shooter, and usually you're getting him through referrals. Mm-hmm. I mean, I met Greg Robinson actually called me. I'd represented two of his teammates and a few other people from Auburn, and he said everybody just sounded like a used car salesman, and he was just looking for somebody that he could trust.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it's – and that's a top five pick or maybe the first pick in the draft, and that's easier than signing a seventh-round quarterback sometimes.
So when you get that phone call, you don't know that phone call is coming from Robinson.
No, actually.
Or did some people say, hey, look, you're going to get a call from Greg.
Greg asked me for your number. Is it okay if I give it to him?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, hell yes.
Okay. Yes, hell yes. So you get the phone call. Give me how it works from there.
Well, then you go through an interview process where usually they want to sit down and ask you some questions.
In person, or do you get on a plane?
You get on a plane. You go. You meet with the family. Answer questions with the family. Not immediately. Whenever the schedule allows or whenever they're conducting interviews. Some players do it in the summer before their junior or senior year. Other players wait and don't meet with anybody until after their bowl games.
Mm-hmm.
So every player is a case study of one.
And in Greg Robinson's case, what did you need to hear from him to say, okay, this guy can fit? Because obviously, eyeball test, this guy's going to be number one pick, done, let's sign this. Yeah, you need to find out a lot more.
You just ask a little bit about his background and things of that sort. And he was very upfront. He said, I'm not a jewelry guy. I'm not a money guy. I'm not looking for loans. I don't want to spend money before I have it.
Mm.
That right away tells you that he's learned from mistakes of other players and that he's a pretty mature guy because he, in the situation in which he grew up, he was forced to be the man of the house and run things for a large family. So you could tell his maturity level was much higher than many other players that we met.
What are some of the things that you see over and over again that are red flags? Or you're saying, no, what, this isn't a fit. Posses?
Posses are certainly, that's a little bit of a red flag. But more importantly, he is a player that is not a self-aware player. When you meet a player that's decent, but he's already talking about setting up his foundation and his concerns are, you know, branding himself and he's a linebacker or, you know, silly questions like that. How much money can I get in a loan? Can I get a $500,000 loan? Do you know a good jewelry guy? How can I get that Ferrari that what I was looking for? Can you get it earlier for me than the other guy? You know, questions that don't pertain to football, that have nothing to do with making him a better player. There's too many players that are too immature out there and don't really know what this business entails.
Sure.
And the high degree of dedication it takes to be successful, even if you're talented.
What's the most outrageous thing you've been asked by a player that you didn't represent or maybe you had to talk him off the ledge? 30 years doing this. Jewelry, Ferraris, okay, I got it. Most outrageous thing.
Probably after a player bought supposedly $200,000 worth of jewelry that turned out to be fake. And he actually asked my partner, hey, can you help me take it back and get my money back? That's when we realized that, boy, we've got an issue.
Are you serious?
Oh, and the stuff, you probably could have got the stuff at, Chuck E. Cheese for $50.
Right, Ross on clearance for $150.
Exactly.
$200,000. I mean, I'm laughing, but that's when you have the player that says, I want the red Ferrari. Red flag, or do you talk? It's like, look, let's try to scale back to the Pinto here.
You realize that we're probably not. How did we even get a meeting with you in the first place?
Yeah.
You know the types of players we have, the Barber twins, or you know Lyle Senline for the Cardinals.
Sure.
John Tate who went here. We've had a good history over 30 years of high character guys. So a lot of times you know before you even walk in the room, hey, this guy has a chance to be a good fit. Or we're probably barking up the wrong tree here. So sometimes you try to let them know that this is going to affect you in the draft if you're handling things the wrong way. And we've done a fairly good job of getting older players to mentor the young players
mm-hmm.
to say, here are the roadblocks, here are the speed bumps. And if you're not aware and have a plan in place to deal with these distractions, you're probably not going to have a lot of success out of the blocks in this league.
Eric Metz with us in studio, the business side of the National Football League. The draft is just over 2 weeks away. The schedule comes out tonight. 30 years he's been doing it right here in Scottsdale. He has potentially the number one overall draft pick. Let's get into that. Where do you think your client how's it sounding for your client being number one as we sit here 15 days away?
Oh, it always sounds great when he's having dinner with the offensive line coach tonight. Mm. So the offensive line coach is going to say, I'm going to do anything I can to get you.
In Houston. So he's in Houston tonight.
So he's with Paul Dunn, who's a real good offensive line coach, played with Russ Graham at Pitt, was actually his roommate, and learned a lot of his techniques and everything from Russ, and has become a good coach in the league with the Atlanta Falcons, and now he's with the Houston Texans. So obviously he's going to push like crazy to get somebody like him, but it's not his decision.
Sure.
Mr. McNair, the owner, is going to have a great deal of input, which can take you back to a Denny Green story, which is why they picked Matt Leinart instead of the corner that Denny Green wanted. Obviously, the guy that writes the checks has the ultimate power.
Mm-hmm.
And if the guy that writes the checks decides that he wants Johnny Manziel, he could very well take him. Bill O'Brien obviously has a lot of input. Rick Smith, the general manager, has tremendous input. And, you know, that's a big decision for him to make. But usually the offensive linemen, especially when they're considered a Hall of Fame, Pro Bowl potential type of player like Greg, they're always considered the safe pick.
Mm-hmm.
I can't go wrong with this guy. Clowney, you're afraid, is a boom or bust guy.
Mm-hmm.
Mac's supposed to be pretty good, but he hasn't done it on this level. Hey, Manziel's going to sell a lot of tickets, but the GM says if he can't do it, he's going to get me fired.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes they go back to the offensive lineman and say, hey, we can't go wrong with this guy. So because we can start him off at right tackle, we can play him at left guard. Then when Dwayne Brown's done in a couple years, kick him out to left tackle. The offensive and defensive linemen you usually do pretty well with.
50-50 right now, he's the number one. What's your gut telling you?
My gut tells me that this is my 30th or 31st draft.
Yeah. 2 weeks out.
If this was the night before the draft,
yeah,
and they told me they were taking him, I still wouldn't believe it.
Mm.
I mean, we went through it with Jamarcus Russell when he was the number one pick, and they told him that he was the guy that they were going to select, but only if he selected a deal with $26 million guaranteed. He turned it down, said, I'm fine going number three to the Cleveland Browns. 24 hours later, they're in New York, said, no, it's you. He dresses in a silver and black suit.
Hmm.
And I still wasn't sure in the bus going over there to Radio City Music Hall that were going to be the case. Until it actually happens, you never believe it.
The silver and black suit, that's a good touch. Do you have some Texan-colored suits picked out for Greg already? Or
no.
Got the tie that's the You don't go that far.
We did look at one that had some basketball player did it before where he had his jersey on the inside.
Oh, yeah.
We thought that might be overdoing it, so we just went with the typical charcoal suit.
Draft is today. What would the top five look like in terms of players selected? From what you hear, what you see, what your gut says.
I think you've got the two pass rushers and the one that can actually drop into coverage with Mack and Clowney. They're both top five picks. Greg Robinson is a top five pick. People always overdraft quarterbacks. It's my opinion and my job's not on the line, but
sure.
I like Manziel. I think he would be the pick if my job were on the line. And then I think Jake Matthews, who's a tremendous player, the tackle who can play right and left tackle and has succeeded at both at Texas A&M and obviously comes from great stock with
sure.
his Hall of Fame father.
And is there a team that let me ask about this on the other side. I want to find out if on the other side the teams that make sense to you that would look at trying to trade up to get that number one pick. I'll get to that on the other side. Also, the schedule comes out today. And how many times on draft day have you been lied to? Where the teams had you on the phone saying, the teams had you on the phone saying, we're going to take your guy.
I don't have enough fingers.
And then,
and then they
screw you over. We're going to talk much more with Eric Metz on the other side. The business side of the NFL, the business side of sports, 30 years right here in Scottsdale, representing players in the National Football League draft day, just 15 days away. I'm Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com, on AZ Central Sports, good to partner with the Arizona Republic, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/Sports360AZ.
Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. Good to be partnered with the Arizona Republic. Brad Sussmat with you on Twitter. You can follow me at Brad Sussmat, C-E-S-M-A-T. and of course on White Mountain Radio as well. The business side of the NFL, business side of sports. Appreciate having Eric Metz in studio. Scottsdale based, 30 years he's been doing this. I mentioned earlier, you guys, you want to be involved in this? Well, Eric, you can turn it right back around on them.
Preferably, if you're related to Sam Walton or you're an internet billionaire, I could be more than happy to give my cell phone number out and you can join our firm, help us expand.
Sure.
602-315-7480. You call me right away and I'll make sure you succeed in the agent business.
That's it.
For the small fee of...
Right. How many times have you been lied to about first round picks?
No, first-round picks? I mean, first I can tell you picks. Lies about seventh-round picks and undrafted guys.
Okay, give me some draft-day lies.
Well, I'll tell you, one that didn't happen to me and one that did happen to me. The one that didn't happen to me was Ben Roethlisberger, where he had told me later on that the head coach of the Giants, the general manager, everybody had told his late coach, Terry Heppner, that we're taking Ben. And that was the famous scene where Lee Steinberg hits the table because they don't take him with the number four pick. I mean, they all but promised the guy that he was the guy. And it didn't work out for them. And they were manipulating, doing different things. But sometimes they believe it, and they tell three or four guys that that's going to be the case. In particular, what happened to myself and my partners, we were sitting in John Tate's house over in Tempe back in 1999 on draft day. And
Big offensive lineman.
And I believe it was Michael Bidwell got me on the phone and said, we're deciding right now, I think we're going to take John Tate with the number eight pick, which immediately the opportunity to stay home, his whole family jumps out of their seats and off the couch. Everybody's excited. He says, give me 2 minutes. Hold on 1 second. Everybody's sitting there in suspense. You can imagine how stressed we were and how excited at the same time.
You have it on speakerphone or do you have it on?
No, I just had it on my cell phone at the time. I'm holding on. Then he comes back and said, hey, we went back and forth, but we decided we're going to go with David Boston. So sorry, and he hung up, and the whole family was in shock, and it was one for the record books. And shortly thereafter, we got to the 14th pick, and Carl Peterson called, the general manager at the time from Kansas City,
sure,
who quite frankly never won anything in his whole career as a GM. But
there's a shot.
But anyways, Carl,
you guys have Christmas cards, right?
Carl gets us on the phone and says he's only going to draft John if he accepts some certain less than market deal that he has on the table at that particular moment. And John said, I'm fine going to the 15th pick with Tampa Bay. I'd like playing there. He said, if you don't accept this deal right now, we are not going to pick you. Huh. And we said, we'll turn it down. In that moment, we thought that we were going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We hang up, watch the TV. They said the Kansas City Chiefs select John Tate, offensive tackle, Brigham Young University. Then they call back and said, hey, sorry about that part where we put a gun to your head, so we'll see how it works out, which that's another story for another day. So,
the Gaston Green. You had Gaston Green.
Oh, that was in 1988. That was a good one. I was only 27 years old, and we had a Heisman Trophy runner-up who has since passed, actually from a brain tumor, Ironhead Hayward.
Sure.
Pitt. Who was a tremendous talent, who trained Warren Anderson, trained him out here at Rehab Plus, got about 50 pounds off the guy in 2-3 months. He was in tremendous shape. John Robinson flew over the day before the draft and said, we're selecting you at number 14. Mm-hmm. It was a done deal. We were all excited.
Robo coach
came over and he decided, I guess at some point in the next 24 hours, and he neglected to tell us, they say, with the number 14 pick, the Los Angeles Rams select running back, and Ironhead jumps up.
He's crazy. He's happy.
He says, Gaston Green, UCLA. And, of course, Ironhead yelled, that fat water buffalo lied to me. So, you know, he said, hey, you got to sit tight and move on to the next thing. And he went about 10 picks later to the New Orleans Saints.
What do you think, Eric, about the story that came out yesterday of Russell Allen had a stroke and that it wasn't? Here's a former Jacksonville Jaguar, had a stroke during a team's game in December, not able to play football again. The whole concussion thing has been talked about over and over and over, and players' health. I'm sure you've seen the story. Do you have some thoughts on health? I know this could be an hour-long conversation with you and I. But what did you make out of that story?
It scares you to death, not only from your friends, but I have a son, too. I have two daughters and a son, and you immediately think, I don't want my son to ever play football. I mean, it scares the daylights out of you because you only have – they haven't done brain transplants yet. And once that goes, you're in trouble. And I hear nothing but great things about Russell Allen, and he's a class act. But here's a guy that had a lot more to offer the world than just playing football. Mm-hmm. And he's got his whole life ahead of him, and there's a part of his brain that's dead. When I read it, I mean, it scares the daylights out of you and thinking he can't be the only one.
Yeah,
where there's a situation such as this. You see the Kevin Turners. You see what happened to Ted Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
You see Junior Seau taking his life and Dave Durison and people like that. And it just scares the daylights out of you that, hey, what's going to happen to some of my friends, our friends and clients now, and our older friends that are retired? They say every time I lose my keys, I think this is it. It's over.
Right, right.
These are guys that are 40, 42 years old. So it's very frightening every time you hear of one of these situations.
Because in this one with Russell Allen, so he says after suffering a headache Sunday night and Monday morning that week, he told the Jaguar trainers about the play and that he had experienced double vision on the sideline. And this was over on Peter King's website, mmqb.com. That he underwent an MRI, was sent home, received a call Tuesday morning, was told to meet the Jaguars team physician at the emergency room. So let's take your role in this. You have a call with players Sunday night after games, or some reps do, or you touch base with your clients. Are you getting to a point where you've got to be really clear with each one of your clients, whether it's after a game, during the week, because of this sort of thing?
Well, if you're at another game or if you're watching the game at home, you'll text your clients during the game on certain plays that they made. If it appears that they get dinged, are you okay? And their adrenaline's still running pretty high when they get out of the locker room. So
sure.
Usually they'll, you know, let their family know immediately, and then they'll get back to us. If they feel something went wrong, I need to get a second opinion on my knee. They told me my shoulder's okay, but I'm not quite sure. Let's get it checked out on Tuesday. But if it's something with the head, I'm fortunate to have some friends in Pittsburgh that are very close with Dr. Maroon, who appears to be the top neurologist and on top of a lot of this stuff for players in the league. So if it's something dealing with the head, you want to get them to Pittsburgh and have Dr. Maroon check them out.
And it's one of those, how many clients do you have right now that you represent?
Myself and my partners.
Your partners, yeah.
About 40 clients in the NFL.
So you have 40 guys in the NFL that on any given Sunday, you've got to just hold your breath, basically, on this whole deal with brain trauma and concussions. Because 10 years ago, they're just playing their game. You know, we got a hamstring, or we got a knee, or we got a shoulder, or we got something. Now, in the last 3-4 years, where the awareness has been heightened to levels it's never been at before, I have to think that there's a little bit of stress and angst in your guys on every Sunday now.
The players that are in the league, they say, if I worry about that, I'm not going to be successful on the field. I've got to put that out of my head.
Sure.
Even if I see another player go down during the game, I never played in the NFL, so I don't understand that mentality. But it does make sense that if you're not going all out all the time, you're going to have problems in that business. So it's frightening for their families, first and foremost, their parents, their children.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly we're in that long line of people that care about them and say this could be not only devastating to your career, but as we've seen in the Junior Seau cases and the Kevin Turners and Ted Johnson, this is something that could potentially ruin your life or kill you.
So I wanted to get into that. Before you get out of here, anything else you want to add this week that caught your eye around the NFL? The schedule comes out tonight. Does that make a big difference to you? Do you look at cold weather games for your clients? Anything around the schedule tonight for you?
You want to see Monday night games are the easiest to do because it's the only game going on. On Sunday, especially in the morning when you have eight or nine games going on at once, it's very difficult to watch all of them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to go to a game, unless it's a Cardinal game or a Charger game close by, take a look at the Monday night schedule. And
now the new CBS Thursday night schedule will be upgraded. I'm sure there'll be better, much better games.
Yeah, and that has nothing to do with TV ratings. That's because they care about the players'
absolutely.
Health. I mean, that's absolutely ridiculous that they're playing games on Thursday night.
And eventually Friday or Saturday. Eventually. Do you feel the same way as I do?
Let's do it on Wednesday at midnight if we can get ratings. Why not? Let's bleed every penny out of these guys that we possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
It's reprehensible in many ways, but you know, they said, hey, it's a $10 billion business right now. We see it going to a $25 billion business within the next 15, 16 years.
Wow.
So that's frightening when there's so much focus on money. And they say they care about player safety, but boy, having Thursday games and all these other things certainly do not reflect that.
And your client is in Houston today. We'll meet with the owner tomorrow. Any other visits scheduled?
The 27th is the last day that you're allowed to visit with any club. So this is his last visit.
This will be his last visit.
Yes.
And has he met with Atlanta, which is interesting.
Met with Atlanta, met with the Rams, met with Tampa, Jacksonville, all the top teams.
Okay. I'll see you next week.
Thanks for having me.
You got it. Eric Metz in studio, the business side of the NFL. The draft is in 15 days. Great content there. You got a Twitter handle? Are you on Twitter? Have I pumped your Twitter? You got phones?
I think
you gave out your phone number earlier.
It's at Eric D. Metz.
Eric D. Metz. M-E-T-Z. Eric D. Metz. There you go. I got it? Anything else? No, you're good.
That's it for now.
That's fine. Sports360AZ.com. I have fun on this show. This isn't brain surgery. On the Arizona Republic at AZ Central Sports. Good to be on AZ Central Sports, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter. Yeah, it's at Brad Sesmat, C-E-S-M-A-T. Thanks for being with us.